Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, welcome to the Tech Point Africa podcast. My name is Emmanuel.
I'm Uluwani Femi.
My name is Oganyaruma.
And I'm Shim Gosrim.
Yeah, so how are we doing today? Why am I speaking like this? Yeah, so how are we doing? How's the week been? We just came back from a very long holiday and you guys did not have any issues whatsoever with network and light.
Well, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
So I miss the office. I miss coming to the office. Remote work in the mud.
We had lights though. So.
Oh, you have lights. We came to your place. We didn't see lights.
That was when you came.
Dirtiness.
Yeah. So apart from light, I guess network is still a very, very big issue. And we're seeing on the news that MTN is looking to invest huge sums of money in 5G infrastructure in rural areas and stuff. So
is it planning to, or they've announced that they already announced
yes, that
there's a new investment. So there was a former one. So the new one is a $39.1 million investment.
Oh, new investment. So there was one before.
Yes, there was one before. The previous one was $57 million.
Oh.
Yes, investment in a province in South Africa. The one they just invested is in Eastern Cape in South Africa, and the plan is to use it for 5G infrastructure and also fix vandalized infrastructure.
Okay.
Right, but the focus is actually to improve 5G infrastructure in rural areas. And it's interesting. I don't want to say it's laughable. It is not. It's interesting that you have to be putting that much into 5G in rural areas. The questions should be around, they really have 5G compatible devices, right? The gist around 5G is always faster internet access, right? Am I right? Yes. And you have to have 5G enabled devices to use, to be able to access that.
Okay.
You get. So it's interesting to see that they are putting that much money investment into 5G in rural areas when urban areas are still lagging behind in that place. But I found that it is not really for individuals.
Okay.
So there's this theory or school of thought around how 5G can connectivity to the underserved.
Okay.
So yeah, then it's counterintuitive, right?
Okay. So who is it meant for if it's not for individuals?
Okay, so it's more like an industry thing. See education now. So if you want to progress education in those rural areas, you can put the institutions' capacity to use 5G, right, for education. Healthcare too, right? It is more institutions can have it than individuals can. And the most interesting part is that it can encourage the remote work. It brings to mind when we relocated to Ile-Ife.
Yeah.
Right. It's I don't want to, because of people listening, I don't want to call it a village. It is more rural than it is.
It's a town. Come on.
I'm not so, but putting it on a scale, it's below a city.
Okay.
Please don't come for me. It's what I experienced. Okay, so for that kind of setting now, it will definitely attract remote workers that want the serenity but want good internet access. So that is the only part I find interesting about it. Make those places have faster internet, then can attract remote workers to come and live there.
Yeah, so something that is a very significant question I find myself asking is, given the nature of 5G technology, where you need to have these infrastructures really close to each other. So with the normal radio networks we are using, these base transceiver stations could actually be far from each other. Waves carry the signals. Then with fiber cables are one carrying the signals on the ground.
Underground.
And with base transceiver stations closer to each other, the stronger the signal. So 5G seems to be built on that. So does the rural areas have such a setting where there are existing infrastructures to actually support this 5G being close to each other? But I guess that's what all this money,
yes,
millions of dollars.
Interestingly, currently in Southern Cape or Eastern Cape rather, MTN already have like over 94 5G sites.
Oh.
And they are planning to do 18 more this year in 2022.
Interesting.
So if they have that number, so I think it can solve the proximity. If they have, they are putting a lot of money to do a lot, it will, they can be close together. So talking about terrain, maybe we should not judge with what we have here.
Okay.
In Nigeria, those forests, what was the word? What there's a geographical word?
Rainforest.
Not rainforest. There's Sahara. There is.
Savannah.
Yes.
Okay.
You get. So those places doesn't have to be like hilly.
Okay.
You
okay.
get. They can be plain grounds for to install these things. I just feel this, given the rationale behind it, it looks like something.
Okay.
Good to go with.
Oh, that's really interesting. One of my dream scenarios is staying in a quiet, serene.
With good internet and light.
Farmland with good internet and light. Farmland. Dogs.
Until monkeys start visiting.
I don't mind the monkeys. Yeah, that's a significant leap forward for me if people can actually leave the cities to relocate to rural areas. But talking about big stuff to small stuff, I mean, companies investing huge amounts of money to actually impact their communities. So we released a report, TechPoint Africa, intelligence, our data and research arm, Intelligence by TechPoint, just released a report about, in partnership with Y Combinator, about impact of Y Combinator in Africa over the years. We'll put a link to the report in the description. So for those who are probably not too familiar with the startup space, Y Combinator is basically a company that helps other companies grow.
The Ivy League of
the Ivy
accelerators.
League of accelerators. Yeah. So yeah, they're one of the most popular of such companies. So those kind of companies are called accelerators, and Y Combinator is like one of the biggest. There are others like Techstars and 500 startups that also come to mind. So but Y Combinator companies have been increasingly popular, and we've seen that Y Combinator has given us, they've changed how we understand startups, how startups operate. The poster success stories of startups in Africa. Mm-hmm. Paystack, Flutterwave. Paystack, a landmark acquisition of $200 million by a US-based payment startup Stripe. Then Flutterwave, arguably one of the most valuable companies in Africa. Valuable private companies, that is. So the question is, how has Y Combinator actually impacted us in Africa? Yes, so nowadays we are seeing a lot of companies actually rushing to enter Y Combinator in Africa. Their first year, their second year, the report is showing that, yes, they are either in their first year of launch or in their second year of launch, and they've raised a combined $1.3 billion so far. Yeah, but when are you guys entering Y Combinator with your startups? Very soon. Oh, okay. Tell us your plan. Let's hear that. Yeah, so...
I don't know if this is preempting.
Okay.
Right. Can we say that the impact of YC on African startup is not overrated from this report now?
It's not overrated. So it shows that YC is important, and YC is influencing how other startups operate, and YC is not the gold standard for success as a startup in Africa. So if you are entering YC, it doesn't mean you are guaranteed success. It doesn't mean that all the investors will start flocking to you. You have to put a lot of things in place to be able to succeed as a startup founder. So the thing is, yes, you can succeed with YC, and you can succeed without YC. So yes, so there's data to back that, right? In our West Africa Decade report, we released it in 2020. And it showed that a good percentage of startups actually went through an accelerator, but a larger percentage of these startups didn't go through an accelerator, and they raised huge amounts of funding. But we also have to ask ourselves the question, is funding like the North Star for startups? What do you guys think?
You should not say funding. Maybe you should say money.
money. Yeah, is it the North Star of Star, like the amount of funding that is coming into the ecosystem because of Y Combinator and because of accelerators like them? Should that be the North Star? Should we always be celebrating these funding issues?
Personally, I feel like it shouldn't, because funding doesn't necessarily mean that you're actually solving the problem, mm-hmm. or there's growth. So if, for example, I raise money, I might raise money based off, I told the investors so and so, and the investor was like, okay, let me just give this person money. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that, for example, I'm in the healthcare sector, it doesn't mean that I'm actually solving the problem, going to the last mile, getting doctors to come to you and all of that. So it's a good starting point, but it's not always like the...
And the thing is, we hear about what is pushed forward. You get, not too many people have the patience to want to know how far you are doing about the model you proposed. But when you say you raised today and in another 8 months, you say you've raised another round and all, and that is all they see. And that is what they will say. But when people start paying attention to asking questions around your model, have you iterated? Are you really solving the problem you proposed to solve? Then maybe when we get to that point, then we'll start judging. But for now, funding is what they push forward, and that is what people celebrate. They just come to terms with that.
Okay, she come to terms with that. She goes, have you heard? I can see your eyes.
Well, I really don't have a problem with funding, because it's like this year's vanity metric to track. So there's really no problem with that. But the way I see startups is, their business is first of all, and I don't care whether you're solving a problem, but are you making money? So yes, you should solve a problem, but if you're making money, I'm good. So are you making money? Can you make money?
But we have to consider the fact that maybe funding is the easiest vanity metric. Yes, that is accepted, but these companies have been existing long before these startups, these high growth startups. We had the likes of MTN. We have the likes of MTN.
System specs.
InterSwitch. They've been up. Yeah, InterSwitch is the only one that has actually announced fundraise, like a venture capital fundraise, to my knowledge. But for companies like System Specs, MTN, Glow, yes, these companies have been existing for a very long time.
Yeah.
Funding was not a thing, announcing funding. So what metrics were you using to judge their growth? In TechPoint, we've been looking at subscriber numbers, how many more people are using these people to access the internet, right? The number of internet subscribers, the number of data voice subscribers. What other metric can we use to judge these startups? Because before we started covering startups, we were covering companies.
These ones are high growth. Yes.
Yeah, so
even
though they are high growth, so there are actually a lot of metrics that you can use to judge a company.
Okay.
Which is what, forget the name startup. Mm-hmm. They're basically companies or businesses. You could judge them with, I think at some point you can judge startups by growth. Mm-hmm. Are you getting more users? That's fine. After then we now have to get down to business. Are you actually doing what you are supposed to be doing? Mm-hmm. So in the early stages, I think it's fine to just use growth as a metric to judge them.
Okay.
How much? And again, I think how much you're raising is not a good enough metric.
Yeah.
Because like we've pointed out, someone could just be giving you money because they like your face, or because you're able to tell them a convincing story.
Very good story.
That they fell for.
Mm.
So that's why they're giving you money. Doesn't mean that it's a guarantee. We heard of Fast raised how much? 600 million plus and still failed. So that's six. It's not like, it's not valuation. No.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually money they raised.
Yeah.
And yet they didn't make up to a tenth or even 1% of that in revenue for the entire history. So that's crazy.
Yeah.
But then I think, are you a business? You talked about MTN, you talked about Glue.
Yeah.
How much was MTN making? How many people got, if you are using Nigeria, for example, how many people got to you the telephone or smartphones or connected to the internet through them? How many jobs, which is, I think, another thing we can use. So
yes.
I can't remember that the report I saw, but apparently Nigerian startups have created roughly 2,500 jobs.
Yeah.
So and
that does remind me. Our report actually shows how many jobs these guys have created, the entire workforce. And it's actually a decent number. YC-backed African startup. They've created thousands of jobs. But I will not be revealing that number. Mm-hmm. Go to the link in the description to actually see. We're giving you the link to the report in our description. Just go there and read more about. There are lots of juicy details I didn't talk about in this conversation. You download the report and also watch out for my article later today. And we talked to some of the YC founders and of course an investor to actually help us understand everything that how YC has impacted us. But moving on from there, a relatively new young Nigerian startup, Nobiz, just raised $1 million to help companies expand and incorporate anywhere they want in Africa. Onome, we keep calling you Onome in the middle of the podcast, but you introduced with us, you introduce yourself with a different, yes. I'm not going to mention that name, I'm sorry.
Ogeneruem.
Give me please.
Don't bother my name. Right. So yeah, Nobiz raised $1 million mm-hmm. and I found some interesting names on the cap table. We have Odun of Piggyverse. We have Ajaso, CMO of MTN. She's on the cap table as well.
Wow.
That's not the interesting part. So yesterday they released an incorporation as a service API. So basically what the API does is helps you to incorporate your business. It's in Kenya, USA and Nigeria. It has more of a use case for business-to-business companies. So, for example, you have a payments processor like Paystack that tells you that if your business is unregistered, you can't do above a certain limit of transactions.
Okay.
So, if you're a business like that and you want to increase your limit of your transaction limit, all you have to do is fill a form on the Paystack website that's includes all your details, what you need for incorporation and all of that, and mm-hmm. immediately goes to Nobiz. And once it gets to Nobiz, you get incorporated. It's not immediate, because obviously it's not immediate anywhere, but it gives you that feeling that it gives the company, say Paystack, that feeling that, okay, this company is incorporated, is about to get incorporated, and I can do business with this company, so I can upgrade the limits, I can do all of that.
Mm.
But interestingly, it's not just for incorporation. You can register business names. You can get a bank account. You can get your tax identification number. You can do so many, should I call it, incorporation-related things using the API.
Hmm. That's interesting. Paystack, Flutter, with the example she gave, like these are companies that are actually powering a lot of businesses, for payments mm-hmm. for a lot of businesses, and not just businesses. Freelancers also use the platform. I was talking with some of my friends last year, and okay, let's just try something. Let's just create a landing page and integrate Paystack. Yeah. And that's it. There's no business name. Could this possibly be like a way for more informal companies to actually become more standard and structured?
Yes. So, for example, you gave an example of you building a landing page and involving Paystack. So, with that, you can just approach Nobiz itself. You might never need to use the API.
Okay.
Approach Nobiz and tell them you want to incorporate your company, and they do all of that for you.
Okay.
So, the API is more for companies that need registered businesses to use their platform.
Okay.
So, for example, a bank.
Okay.
And a bank can plug in the API if they want to check if this company can get a loan or social amount. You can just enter your details and all of that.
Mm.
They are going to start verification as well. So you can, the company can verify if you actually registered business. It's not yet out. They said it's going to be out this week. But what it does is that if you want to verify that this business is actually a real business, you just impute the business name
mm-hmm.
and it automatically, but within real time tells you that, okay, this company is registered or not.
Okay, so once you've submitted that form, right, how long does it take for you to have your business name or your company?
They are not certain. According to Tola Onayemi, that is the CEO of Nobiz, it's going to be faster than what you have now. But, for example, if you want to register your business name, it takes anything from 2 days to a week or more, depending on how the registering how long the registering body takes. But he is saying that it's going to be faster than that.
but it's not giving us a specific number.
But it's not giving a specific number.
Okay, that's cool.
But then there's this thing that maybe should I say I'm worried about for a young company, right? Allowing people to plug in to basically do what they are doing for companies. Won't it be like, will it affect what they are doing? Would it affect their own market?
Yeah. So I actually asked him that. So I had a call yesterday and he answered that question.
Yeah, so the thing is we already do corporations, right? We have a team brand that do it, right? Like, like I said, Nobe is building Africa's trademark and company house, right? If you're trying to do that, it's too early to be bothered. In fact, it's not important to be bothered about doing what, right? What matters is that we're building infrastructure that we can leverage, right? And you can make money on it. And we think that there's a lot of financial opportunities for it, from banks making more money and payment personnel making more money from this, to being able to ensure that there's no drop-off, you're doing more customer retention, to ensuring that, and there's a lot, and to even ensuring that it's a gig economy for freelance lawyers that can build on some of these, right? So there's a lot, and like I said, this is we're just getting started. There's a lot we're going to build on top of this, right? Even we are building on top of the API, on our own infrastructure and the API, right? And so that's how we look at it. The way we think of it is that there's so much to do, right? Between Niger, South Africa, Kenya, and Ghana, over 700,000 corporations are getting it on. And that is as difficult as it seems. So imagine we can make it so seamless that you can incorporate as quickly as possible, right? And that's what, so it's a market to go play for than to brag so much about, oh, who did what, who did.
Yeah. So basically he's saying that there's a, the market is too big for them to be worrying about, okay, who's playing the market.
You don't notice them.
About, the one that yeah, the so they don't really, he doesn't really care about that.
That's interesting.
It is.
I heard something that he just said, a market for freelance lawyers, so freelance gig lawyers. How does that work?
It depends. It's a company that you find yourself. It's not an existing. He was just giving examples. So I don't know how that is going to work because that's just an idea he dropped. It's not like it's something that already exists.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Powering expansion and automating the business registration process for companies. I think that's an interesting one. One issue you always find with most small businesses, the account. For instance, they account for over 90% of businesses in Africa, but most of these businesses are actually not registered. They are just sole proprietorship, people just running their thing away from the eyes of the government. One of the flip side of that is these people are not able to access loans, they are not able to access credit basically, and some other benefits that maybe the government wants to give them, a relief fund or something. But the fact that they're not registered, it's a bit difficult for them to actually access this fund. So I guess that could be like a ripple effect of the whole
second order effects. Well, that's interesting.
The ripple effect, and we could see ripple effects of this across the economy if this catches on. So I think it's an interesting one, and let's know
from
what you think.
From a policymaker, I think I'd be very happy.
Very happy.
More registered businesses, more taxes.
Yes. Yeah. So it has several ripple effects, and I find myself actually rooting that they catch on. This is not sponsored or paid.
They're actually live in Kenya, the UK, and Nigeria. So if you're in any of these countries,
You want to expand.
Yeah.
All right. So, if you're in any of those countries and you're listening to us for the first time, kindly
signify by raising your hand.
Stop it.
Okay. Let us know what you think about everything we've discussed today, right from MTN and 5G, with Y Combinator's impact in Africa, Naira Land's valuation. What do you think Naira Land is valued at? What should it be valued at? If you had the money today, how much would you buy Naira Land for? Then, of course, Nobis. If you're a freelancer or you're running a small business, are you going to register on Nobis to make yourself a standard business and start paying tax? That's another conversation. But let us know what you think. You can tweet at us at with the hashtag TechPointAfricaPodcast or email us at podcast@techpoint.africa. And if you're listening to us for the first time, wherever you are in the world, we're listening to us.
Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify.
Oh, Stitcher, yes. you mentioned Podcast Addict, right?
Yes, so yes, we did.
So yeah, thank you so much for listening to us, and we'll be back again next week with more juicy details. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.